This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study in the book of Jeremiah. If you would turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23, I'd like to begin at verse 9. Chapter 23, verse 9. Jeremiah has been bringing a message to the southern kingdom of Judah about their rebellion against God and their lack of trusting in Him. And they aren't seeing it. And part of the problem is, if our ears aren't open to the truth and we hear a message that sounds very similar to the truth, but it's a lie, oftentimes we will believe the lie and not the truth. And you had conflicting messages going to the people of Judah. Jeremiah is going to expose those that are bringing a false message. He's going to talk about the false prophets that were in Judah at this time. And they are bringing a message that's the exact opposite of what Jeremiah is bringing. Just to recap, capture what Jeremiah has brought in his messages from the Lord to Judah, is that they should have learned from their sister Israel, the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom had been taken into captivity by the Assyrians. Yet, they didn't learn. They didn't see anything and learn any lessons from her. And as a matter of fact, Jeremiah said, they have become worse in their rebellion to God than the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom didn't have the kings that the southern kingdom had. The northern kingdom hadn't had the repentance led by various kings that the southern kingdom had. The southern kingdom had the temple. The southern kingdom had Jerusalem. The southern kingdom had the heritage of being the ones that had supposedly been walking with the Lord, where Israel had gone, the northern kingdom had gone totally in rebellion, virtually from the beginning of the establishment of the kingdom, in worshiping Baal and other false gods. However, Jeremiah says the southern kingdom is worse, because they hid their false worship, they pretended to do something else, and then they listened to false prophets. And the false prophets even came supposedly in the name of the Lord. And so he says, the rebellion is even worse. And he's very concerned about them because they will not listen. The only ones they listen to are those that bring a false message. Let's begin reading at Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 9. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of His holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in mine house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make their drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me. And the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Have I heard what the prophets said and that prophesy lies in my name, saying that I have dreamed and I have dreamed? How long shall this be in the heart of prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. They think to cause my people to forget my name, and by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath a word, let him seek my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the stock to pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, and saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, and of the Lord of hosts of our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, What hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, The burden of the Lord, therefore, thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, The burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, We shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you, Lord, these are a powerful, powerful message from you through Jeremiah. And Lord, help us to understand, lest we fall into the same trap of listening to men and women who say they come in your name, but bring false prophecy and false messages and do not uphold the truth of your word. Lord, help us to seek men like Jeremiah, who come with really the burden of the Lord, and Lord, would share that burden. And Father, I pray that you would help us to seek the true burden that is upon your heart for our nation, our lives, our people, lest we fall into the ways of Judah. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read that passage of Scripture where Jeremiah is speaking against the opposition that's coming against him. Remember, Jeremiah has been speaking the truth. He's been really, when it says, they say they speak the burden of the Lord, that's really the message of the Lord to speak to the people, to help the people. That's God's burden. God's burden is He wanted to have Judah repent and turn to Him. He wanted Judah to walk with Him. He wanted their worship to be proper and in spirit and in truth, the way that He had established it. He wanted His house to be His house, where they would come to meet Him with their sacrifices, where they would be bringing them because they loved Him and cared for Him, were seeking His guidance and direction. But instead, just like the Apostle Paul said in the last days, men shall have tickling ears, where they want to find a preacher who will tell them what they want to hear. That was the whole nation of Judah at this time. They were seeking prophets that would tell them what they wanted to hear, not the truth. When Jeremiah came with the truth, remember that they put him in stocks once, they condemned him a second time. Later on, we're going to see they're even going to dig a pit and throw him in it. They do not want to hear the truth, but they want to hear what they want to hear. And there's a lot of people that want to do that today. You see, what Judah's main problem was is she loved having her sin justified. She loved having a prophet and a priest come and say, what you're doing isn't wrong. You're really worshiping God. Even though they weren't worshiping God at all, it just gave religious names to the forms and modes of their worship. Oftentimes you see that happening in our country today where people will give religious names and even use the name of God. Some people will even use the name of Jesus or Christ, but they do not mean the God of the Bible. They do not mean the Jesus who died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. They do not mean the Christ, the anointed of God that came to fulfill the promise given way back at the Garden of Eden that the Lord would send a Redeemer to purchase back those who had rebelled against Him. They mean something totally different. Yet they say they come in the name of God. And one of the things that we need to understand is you need to hear the whole message and not just the superficial words. And the people were listening to the words, but they weren't dissecting the message. And Jeremiah is telling them, these are false prophets. Go to verse number 9, and it says, My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because the words of His holiness. Now, what is he speaking of? We don't endorse drinking, so how do we know what a drunken man is? Well, our church met down on NP Avenue for a while, and we were next to the worst bar in town at that time when we were meeting. People would come out of the bar. We would start our church service at 7, and we'd usually get done about 8:30, quarter to 9 in the evening on our midweek service. And people, some of them would be coming out of the bar about that time after they'd been in there probably since the minute they got off of work or as soon as they cashed a check. And when they came out, they were staggering. They couldn't stand straight. They'd just been overcome by the alcohol. The alcohol was controlling the movements of their body. The alcohol was controlling the thoughts of their mind. And they couldn't do anything because of the alcohol. Well, what Jeremiah is saying, if people saw me, I'm shaking, I'm stumbling, I'm like a drunk man. I'm like a man who's under the influence of alcohol, but the influence that is causing me to do this is because I understand God's message of holiness and what He's saying about Israel. My heart is broken and my life is, I'm just overcome with grief to the point I can't even stand. Because I see what God is going to do because of this people's hard-hearted, stiff-necked, rebellious attitudes where they won't listen to Him, but they'll listen to everybody else. Everybody who comes with a message, they run to hear them, but they don't want to hear what God's got to say. And simply because these prophets say, oh, we're the prophets of the Lord, they believe them, and they're not like the Bereans, of the Berean synagogue when Paul went to teach them on his missionary journey and just didn't take Paul's word at face value but said, we hear what you say, we think it's a good message, but we're going to go home and compare it against the Scriptures. None of these people in Judah were doing that. Not the priests, not those that claimed to be prophets. They didn't even question where the messages that they got came from or where the dreams that they got came from. Did you know that Satan can give you dreams and Satan can give you messages? And you think that simply because you receive something that appears to be supernatural, then it must be from God. But if it's against the Word of God, let me tell you, it is not from God. And you need to understand where it's coming from the pit of hell. And that's exactly where these false prophets' messages were coming from, and the people wanted to believe them. Simply because they didn't want to change their lives. He says, for the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. Jeremiah is saying, there's a tie between the Jewish people and the land. There's always been a tie between the Jewish people and the land. The land was part of the promise that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And their descendants were tied to the land. The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were to inherit the land. When they would walk in obedience to the Lord and come into the land and do His will, the land would be prosperous and it would be beautiful. But when they walked in disobedience and did not hearken to His voice and did that which was repulsive in His eyes, He said He would remove them from the land as part of His chastisement against them to bring them to their senses. It was His disciplining them, so they could understand what they were doing is wrong. And when they did those things where He had to chastise and remove them from the land would suffer. It's just like, for example, God gave to Adam the responsibility of being the caretaker of the earth. When Adam sinned, his rebellion just didn't touch men, his descendants. It touched all of the creation that he was to oversee. He was over to see oversee the earth. And today we see the impact of sin on our world. The flood we had this last on the 4th of July down in Texas. That's not the world that God created for man. That's a world that is impacted because of man's sin, and you have all these high and low pressures, you have horrible storms, you have things that cause devastation and destruction, and that is a consequence of our sin. And ultimately, when Jesus came, His ultimate goal is not only to redeem us from our sin, but it's to redeem all of His creation from the impacts of sin. The Apostle Paul said that that all of creation groaneth, awaiting the day where God's people shall be seen, and God's people shall be raised up, and the Lord shall create the new heavens and the new earth. And that day is coming. That day is not today. But we can impact it even more greatly when we walk in total rebellion against God, and we who claim to be God's people don't listen to Him, but yet say we are. And that's what Judah was doing. And their tie was to a specific land, the land of Israel, and specific promise, the promise given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, your rebellion is causing the land to become barren. It's becoming the land to become evil. And it's not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Now, were they running around swearing? No. They necessarily weren't taking the Lord's name in vain with their tongues. They may have been going, the priest may have been going and doing everything right as far as from the outward expression at the temple. The prophets may have been using all of the right words, but their hearts weren't right and the message they were bringing was wrong. And consequently, because they did not listen to God, their actions were profane. Profanity is much more than language. Profanity is lifestyle. If we don't believe in who God is and walk in rebellion to Him, yet put on an air of righteousness, we are a profane people. Even though on the outside people may think, oh, look at, he's so holy. No, if our hearts are wicked and we haven't given them to the Lord and repented of the wickedness, we're a profane person. The priests and prophets were profane people. Everything they did was in opposition to what God said they needed to do. They needed to repent. They needed to turn back to Him. They needed to embrace Him as their God. Instead, they encouraged the worship of other gods. They encouraged false worship. They encouraged bringing messages that were exactly opposite of what God said would happen if the people didn't repent. The false prophets kept saying, you don't have to worry. If God was really going to judge us with by Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, the nation of the north, look at the temple still standing. The walls are still here. Why are you so concerned? God is bringing peace. And we will have peace. Those of you who were with us on Wednesday night, and we went back and looked at the three sons and one nephew of Josiah that ruled, and we talk a little bit greater in depth about them. One of the things that you saw is that they did not do what God called them to do at all. And they did the exact opposite. And what happened is it resulted in a shortness and brevity of three of their kingships. And one of the kingships lasted longer in the land, but he still was judged as well and was buried where they buried dead animals instead of kings. They all had an end that was not good because they disobeyed God. But they all thought they were doing the right thing and were doing such a wonderful job as being king of Israel, yet all of them were judged. He says, wherefore, because of these things, because of the profanity of your priests and your prophets, because of what the false messages they bring, because of my holiness. Therefore, or wherefore, their way shall be unto them as the slippery ways of the darkness, and they shall be driven on and fall therein, and I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Now it's interesting, Paul gives us the same example for all mankind in Romans chapter 1. He talks about the slippery slope of rebellion against God. He said, God makes it evident who He is, what we need to do, and how we're to live. His creation speaks of it. Our own bodies tell us that. Yet we willfully choose to do the exact opposite. And he says, it's not that men didn't know who God was, it's that they willfully chose to reject Him. This was a willful choice on the parts of the priests and the prophets and the people to listen to the false message. A willful choice. And God said, because of this willful choice, you've started down a road which is not a road you want to go on. I don't know, a number of years ago we were in Hawaii and they have this black sand beach, and I wouldn't recommend going to the black sand beach when there's been a lot of rain. We went to the black sand beach one year when there was a lot of rain, and it's up on the north shore of the big island of Hawaii, and you go and you have to walk down this really steep hill to get to the black sand beach. Well, guess what? They had a whole bunch of rain, and that path was muddy. And we were kind of slip-sliding all the way down, and we're wondering, why did we decide to come down here? It really wasn't worth the trek to slip-slide and possibly fall. But it was hard, because when you started to slide, it was hard to keep your balance, and it was hard to turn back without getting totally dirty. That's where these people were. They were walking down a hill that was like just solid mud with rain. And if you've ever seen those races they have in England where they run down this really steep hill and you can't, no matter how good a runner you are, you can't keep your balance. And it's just a matter of how quickly you fall down, not when you'll fall down. And they fall down and people are rolling down the hill, tumbling down the hill, and it's to see who can get to the bottom first. Well, these people, they weren't in a race to the bottom, although that's where they were headed. But it was just like those people. Once you've got a momentum going, you couldn't stop and say, okay, I'm just going to walk now. No, once you're going, you can't stop. And you're going down a slippery hill. Once you're going, you can't stop. And that's where these people are going. This slippery slide of sin was taking them in a direction they couldn't turn around, and they were going to their ultimate judgment because of their choice at the beginning when they began to walk down that hill. And we're called not to do that. We're called not to even begin to walk down the hill, but rather to begin to walk in obedience to God. So he said in verse 13, "And I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria, and they prophesied in Baal, and cause my people to err." God says, I see the folly that happened to Israel. Why can't you guys see the folly? Instead, earlier, they became worse than Israel. They were more wicked than Israel. At least Israel was honest enough to say, we're not worshiping the true God, we're worshiping all these false gods. These people would not only worship false gods, but lied about it while they were doing it. They were even worse. And he's saying, you couldn't see what happened to Israel, but I could see it. They didn't listen. And it ended up in their being taken away into captivity by the Assyrians. And he says, I saw their folly. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies, and they strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness, and they are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants of Gomorrah. That's a horrible place to be. What he's saying is, I've seen what happened in Jerusalem. The prophets and the priests, they strengthen the hands of the liars. They strengthen the hands of the evildoers. They make it justified in their mind that what they're doing is right, so they continue not only to do it, but go deeper into it. It'd be like somebody that was attracted to the occult and was doing things like that seemed to be relatively moderately innocuous and can't really hurt you that much. And maybe they're picking up the paper or going online and reading their horoscope every day and figuring, well, that's not really that bad. I just want to see what the stars have to say about me. This, but all of a sudden it leads to something else and something else. And nobody tells them it's wrong. As a matter of fact, they talk to their friends and their friends justify what they're doing. Oh yeah, I do that too. And they begin to get in deeper and deeper. And all of a sudden they're involved in total rebellion against God, doing horrible things. Things that can lead to things like necromancy, seeking out evil spirits to give you direction, using Ouija boards, doing all kinds of things that are in total defiance of God that he tells are an abomination to him. And yet, they thought they just started out so innocent, but nobody slapped their hands and said, stop it. Do you realize where that's going to lead you? It's like the man who says, I'll just take one drug, and it's not really going to harm me that much. I just want to see what it's like to be high. But pretty soon, he's stoned out of his mind most of the time because the drugs have taken over his heart. That's what's happened to Judah. And God says, this is awful what's happened to them. And there's no return. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah had become so bad that when God sent the angels to judge them, they wanted to commit perverted relationships with the angels and didn't even understand that they were angels sent from God to judge them. And when the angels smit them with blindness, it says that they went about groping with their hands, trying to find Lot's door so that they could get in to these angels. That's how disgustingly perverted they were. And God says, Judah is like that because they listen to the false prophets, and the false prophets are just like the ones that initiated all this in Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm judging it all. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. Now what is wormwood? Wormwood's a very, very bitter drink. Something you don't want to drink. Gall, when is a drug, when Jesus was dying on the cross, it says they gave him vinegar or gall on a sponge and lifted it up, and what it would do is deaden the pain. But he says, I'm going to give you this wormwood and gall which do nothing to sharpen your ability to understand, but instead will deaden your senses as a sign of my judgment. And one has to look at what happens in the world and the history of the world when people rebel against God and God gives them an opportunity to repent and they refuse to repent. Oftentimes, he will bring upon them a judgment like he did Pharaoh, where it says Pharaoh hardened his heart, and all of a sudden God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Says, okay, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Later on, and we're out of time, so we won't go verse for verse, but later on, Jeremiah talks about the fact that where did all these ideas come from if they didn't come from God? They came from the imaginations of their hearts, from the prophets' hearts, from their imaginations. And they came from the imaginations of the people. And what did Jeremiah earlier tell us about the heart? It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we shouldn't listen to it. And earlier he had said, one of the judgments coming against Judah is they listen to their hearts instead of listening to the Lord. I want to tell you, one of the things that's scary, in just closing, is to look at what our nation is doing right now and what many of the messages are, even within the church in America today. Follow your heart. How many of you have heard that? How many have heard Christian preachers say, just follow your heart. Trust in your heart. No, trust in the Word of God. Flee from the desires of your heart. Flee from the direction of your heart. Your heart will only take you down the slippery slope of sin. He says, go to the Word of God and trust in the true prophecies of the Lord, not the false prophets. Let's just close. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand this. Help us to understand this powerful, powerful message that Jeremiah brought against the false prophets. A message that needs to be spoken against the false prophets of our day. False prophets in the church, false pastors, false message bearers. And Father, that people would turn back to your word and the truth of your word and seek to follow you instead of walking in rebellion and adulterous relationships with false spirits and gods. Go with us now and help us to walk in your holiness. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 558. 558.